Hello and welcome. This is Fountain of Life Healing School. My name is Donna Crow, and we are on session 3 of Healing School, and we are focusing on healing through prayer, supernatural healing through prayer based on the Bible. And we've had 2 classes so far, again, so this is session 3. And welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. And we're going to recap a little bit, and then we're going to move forward. Last week, we looked at healing in Isaiah 53 and Matthew 8:17. We looked at it in Psalm 103. And all of these scriptures basically put forgiveness and of sins and healing together. That when Jesus spoke to the paralytic and said, "Your sins are forgiven," instead of "Rise and be healed," that in his mind, both those statements were the same thing. If your sins are forgiven, you have a right to get up and be free of the enemy's oppression. And so in the Hebrew mind, in the Old Covenant, that culture, forgiveness of sins and healing went together. And guess what? They still do, because we have a new covenant, and it's a better covenant. It's not a worse covenant. And we get everything we got under the old covenant plus some. And we get it all through Christ. And Jesus fulfilled all of the law for us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And now we get all the good stuff. And so we're going to look at that today. And I want to say, you know, you may have noticed, all I'm giving you here is scripture. This is just the word of God. This is what your faith is built on. It's not on people's experiences. It's not on your experience. It's not on other people's experiences. It's just the word of God. It's living. It's alive. It's a legal document. It's backed by all of heaven, and it belongs to you. And when you get that in your heart, when you get that, when you get your mind renewed to that, you own it, you possess it. And that's our goal here. Our goal is that you would, like the Bible says, it says to know no man after the flesh. That's 2 Corinthians 5:16 says to know no man after the flesh. Well, that includes you. That includes me. I'm supposed to know, to not know myself after the flesh. And one of our difficulties in receiving healing from the Lord is that we just know ourselves too well. And we don't think we're good enough, you know. We feel like we need to be better people to earn a healing and or deserve a healing. And that's not how you get it. As we talked in the very first class, no perfect person has ever been healed. And some really imperfect people, very imperfect people. Some people are more imperfect than others, you know. Sometimes the really people that are really rough around the edges get healed the easiest because they have no illusions about their goodness. And they just throw themselves on the mercy of the court, and they're able to make that connection and get what they need. And so it's not about you being perfect. And so you're going to have to, like, ignore your flesh, ignore the natural you, take hold of what belongs to you, because you're either conformed to this world or you're transformed. And those are your only two options. You're either conformed to the natural realm or you're transformed and you're hooked up with heaven and you're participating in that unseen realm. You know, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. We've talked about that. For those who are new to the Bible, that's in 2 Corinthians 5:7. You can look that up. That we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because there's a veil. You know, our body is a veil for us between the natural realm and the spirit realm. As soon as you leave your body, that veil is gone, and you see what's out there that you can't see now. And so when you get in the Word and you see what belongs to you in that unseen realm, your faith comes up. Why? Because you're a spirit being, and when you hear the truth about who you are as a spirit being, who's been born again in Christ, it's like a tuning fork for you. Your own spirit resonates with truth, and it causes your spirit to become dominant instead of your flesh. And that's where we're going. We want spirit dominance here. We want to get our minds renewed. We don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We want to connect in the spirit. We want to walk in the spirit. You know, just like you were born again in the spirit, we're supposed to walk in the spirit. If we live by the spirit, let us walk in the spirit. That's what the word says. And so that's our goal here, is to get over in the spirit. How? You know, by saying a mantra, you know, by chanting, by ringing bells, or, you know, no, none of that. You get in the spirit by setting your heart and mind on the things of the spirit, by setting your heart and mind on what the word says is true. You get that invisible realm inside you. You get that inside your heart and mind, and so that you know, reality actually becomes more real to you than the natural reality. And the more you do this, really, the easier it is to walk out of the spirit instead of walking out of the natural. So that's why I'm focusing on the word here, because the word is life, because it's a legal document that is backed up by heaven with life. It's full of life. It's not just words. These words on this page have a spiritual reality attached to them that is living, and it's alive, and it can transform your natural circumstances, and it can cause healing to explode in your body so that sickness is gone and health takes its place. And that's what we want. That's what we want here. You want your healing to be based on the word of God, not on feelings, not on emotions. And you may have feelings, you may have emotions, that's great, but you need your resolve. You know, you can have a resolve on the inside. You can have a resolve in your heart and in your spirit that does have a feeling to it. Being resolved is a position of strength. It's a position of authority. It's a position of confidence in God and His goodness and His kindness and His compassion, but also confidence in your legal position. And so that's where we're going. And so that's why we're just looking at the word. We're looking at the word, the word, the word. So that's what we're doing here. And today we're going to look at healing from another angle. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. So we're going to start with that. Again, if you don't have a Bible and you have a cell phone, just use your little, you know, Google search thing to just say 2 Corinthians 1:20, and it'll bring it right up for you. And again, I recommend Bible Hub. When the options come up and you see Bible Hub, I'd recommend that you try that at least once, because they've got like 21 translations in there, and it's just fun. It's a fun place to look at the word. So let me get my own Bible open here. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. This is another one of those scriptures I talked about last week. I think it was about reading on grace, and it was just words. You know, I didn't understand it, you know, and then God gave me a revelation of it. This is another one of those scriptures that you can read, and it's like, it's so grand that you kind of just kind of flatline in your brain. It's like you really don't absorb the vastness of this scripture. It's huge. It is huge. It's one of the hugest verses in the Bible. So we're going to look at this. For as many as are the promises of God in Him, that's in Christ, they are yes. Therefore, also through Christ is our amen to the glory of God through us. So, I'm reading a New American Standard. I think King James reads more like, however many may be the promises of God, in Christ they are all yes. So what Paul is saying here is exactly that. Whatever promise that you can find in the Bible, it belongs to you through Jesus. Every promise that God has ever made is fulfilled in Christ and belongs to you through Christ. And your ability to say amen is also through Christ. And it all is to the glory of God. You know, we could just do a whole hour-long program on this, and I'm going to keep it short. But when you are healed, it glorifies God. You know, when you go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, God was glorified when people were healed. It gives glory to God. And it makes him known. It makes his reality real to people. It makes it a visible manifestation of, again, the unseen realm. And God is glorified when you're healed. It's something that gives him glory. So, okay, so that's a little sidetrack, but however many promises there are in the Bible, they belong to you through Jesus. God is saying yes through Jesus. You receive all those. So anywhere you go in the Word and you find a promise and you think, gee, I wonder if I can have that, God is saying yes. It belongs to you. Jesus paid for it. Jesus came to undo the works of the enemy. He came to reverse the curse. He came to undo what happened through the first Adam and Eve. Jesus is the last Adam. Like the first Adam, he was a created being. God put, you know, a little fetus in Mary, put an egg and a sperm in Mary. It was a created being. He was sinless because he was a created being. He didn't get that inherited sin nature that we all get. He didn't get that, you know. Because of that, there was no separation between him and the Father. They had perfect communication. Okay, so Jesus came to undo. He came as the last Adam to reverse the curse, to undo what the enemy had done, and to restore the kingdom, to restore the dominion of God on the earth through us. You know, God gave Adam and Eve dominion. They gave it to the enemy. Jesus came to get that dominion back for us. We're supposed to have dominion on this earth. We're supposed to declare the kingdom, the dominion of God. And part of that is sickness. So again, we've seen here, however many may be the promises of God, in Jesus they're all yes. And also our ability to say amen, which means so be it. Let it be so in my life. That ability comes from the Father, comes through Jesus. Okay, so we're going to look at some promises that specifically relate to healing. Because if you want faith for healing, you look at scriptures related to healing. You don't, you know, study eschatology to get your faith for healing. Although you may, that may work out for you. That wouldn't be the quickest route. You're not going to study finances in order to get faith for healing. You want to go directly to scriptures that talk about what belongs to you, promises that God has made regarding healing. So we're going to look at some of those. We've already seen Psalm 103, and this is David speaking. His experience is that God forgives all your sins and he heals all your diseases. So what we want to look at is, what was that based on? You know, was that just his own personal experience, or did David have faith based on promises of God? I believe his faith was based on the promises of God that they had under the Old Covenant. So we're going to look at Exodus 15 and verse 26. And this is when the Jews are in the process of being made free. You know, they were in Egypt over a period of hundreds of years. They became slaves. And God led them out of Egypt, and he's leading them into the land of promise, the land that he promised to them. And he's made many promises to them about, you know, what that's going to be like, you know, houses that you didn't build, wells that you didn't dig, you know, fruit trees that you didn't plant. It's all good, and it's all natural stuff. It's all natural stuff. God wants you to have a good natural life. But part of his promise is health. And so we're going to see that real quick here. Exodus 15, 26. Again, I'm reading New American Standard, so it may read a little differently for you. But the essential is going to be there. So he says, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. So, again, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I understand from those who are Hebrew scholars that this actually reads with a passive voice. In other words, according to them, it should say, I will not allow any of the diseases to come on you, which I allowed to come on the Egyptians. Whether it says that or not, really, the point is, he's saying, I won't put sickness on you. He's saying, I am the Lord your healer. And in the Hebrew that says, I am Jehovah Rapha, the self-existent one who reveals himself as healer. I am your physician. And so he clearly states, he's not going to put sickness on you. So if you have doctrine that says God's putting sickness on you, you might want to rethink that. You know, and you can look at this verse and go, yeah, but, you know, I don't know if I've given earnest heed to the voice of the Lord or done what's right in his sight, or, you know. I want to remind you that all the promises of God are yes in Christ. It's not about obeying the law, you know, because this was a promise under the old covenant. And you had to qualify. You had to qualify for it. You know, they had to do sacrifices. They had to burn incense. They had to do certain ways. They washed. And they had lots of rituals, traditions that they had to do. And the number one thing was to listen to God and obey him, you know. We still need to do that. But again, nobody does this perfectly. Nobody is perfect spiritually. In the spirit we are, in the flesh we're not, you know. And if you feel like you need to be perfect in the flesh to receive from God, you're going to have a hard time. So you need to know that the way you qualify is through Christ. If you want to do communion and get in there and get cleared and just go, Lord, if, you know, if I've done something that I need to ask forgiveness for it. Make sure that you've forgiven people. If you want to do that work, do that, you know. You know, break the bread and drink the wine and grape juice, whatever, and get in a place where you feel free, you know, in front of God, you know. But you also need to know that God qualified you. Jesus qualified you. All the promises of God are yes in Jesus. And one of the promises is, I won't put sickness on you. So let's look at Exodus 23 now. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Again, he's concerned about your natural existence. And I will remove sickness from your midst. So that's a promise. He will remove sickness from our midst. So I guess what I want to say here is that there are people who will want to separate the old covenant from the new covenant and say, well, that was the old covenant. We have a new covenant. It's different now. And somehow in their mind, based on experience rather than the Word of God, they come to the conclusion that Jesus only healed people just to show that he was God. They don't understand that healing and forgiveness of sins go together. They don't understand that this is a promise of God, that God wants to undo the works of the enemy, that healing belongs to us, that sickness comes through the enemy, healing comes through God. God desires his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, this is what you get your mind renewed to. You got to decide, what do I believe? Do I believe this was just for old covenant people, or do we get the same things that they had? The Bible says we have a new covenant, and it's a better covenant, not a worse covenant. And he clearly states that all the promises belong to us. I personally believe that we get everything they got plus. You know, we get to be born again. They didn't. We get an eternal covenant. Their covenant was a temporary covenant. It was a foreshadowing of our covenant. You get a new heart. You get a new spirit. You know, God promises that, you know, he'll make you so new that you'll never turn away. I mean, that's a huge promise, you know. That's a huge promise for the new covenant. I mean, we have truly a better covenant in a multitude of ways. That he'll live within you. You know, they had the Holy Spirit in the temple. We have the Holy Spirit in us now. We are the temple now. It's a big deal. It's a big, wonderful, amazing, full of life covenant. It's not just rules. It's spirit. It's alive. It's amazing. You know, I heard Bill Johnson say, you know, under the old covenant, if you touch a leper, you become unclean. Under the new covenant, if you touch a leper, they become clean. You know, it's a big deal. It's a big difference. Our covenant is better. It's not worse. And we get everything they got and more. We get everything they got in the natural. We get provision. We get cared for. We get our natural life to be a place of peace and provision. But we get supernatural on top of it. And even they got supernatural. They, you know, God was very supernatural with them, with healing and eliminating their enemies supernaturally. God's a supernatural God, no matter how you do it. But for them personally, individually, they had to wait. They had to wait for the new covenant. I love it today because I was thinking about when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and it says the graves opened up and the saints of old came out of their graves and appeared to lots and lots of people. And I think that is just amazing. But, you know, in the old covenant, let me just back up here. For us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For them, it wasn't the same thing. Under the old covenant, when they left their body, they went to a place of waiting, you know, Sheol or paradise, you know. But when Jesus was resurrected, they came up out of that with him, and they are now in heaven with him. And so, you know, it's just a better covenant, and we don't lose promises. We gain promises. We get more promises. So we don't lose anything. We gain. Okay, so let's look at this a little bit more. Deuteronomy. We're going to look at Deuteronomy. You know, one of the ways I initially found these when I was looking for healing is I would just, you know, like in Exodus 15, I would go over to my column and see what kind of references they had related to that scripture, and I found that it would lead me to all other kinds of scriptures that said similar things, that said God wants you to be healed, that God's good and the devil's bad, you know, that God is the God of healing, that he is the one who heals you. And so that's one of the ways that you find these things. If you're not sure how you even figure this stuff out, the Bible's a big book and it can take you a while to get through it. But if you just run the references, you can find some information quickly. So Deuteronomy, we're going to look at that. That's just a few books over. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. Find it real quick. Okay, Deuteronomy 7:15 says, "The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but he will lay them on those who hate you." So here again, we've got in Deuteronomy 7:15, it's combined, both Exodus 15 and Exodus 23. I won't put sickness on you, I'll take it out of the midst of you. This is what God promises. This is one of the promises that is yes in Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, Psalm. We're going to look at Psalm 41. And if you're listening, I hope that you will grab your Bible and look at these, because it helps. It helps visually to see these for yourself and to read them, to know where they are, and to read them repeatedly. Don't, you know, we think if we intellectually know this, now that we've got it, you know, but what you need to do is get it in your heart, like we talked about earlier. You want to get your spirit up and fed and strong so that this reality seems more real to you than your physical symptoms. So Psalm 41, verse 3, says, "The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health." That's God's will. When you're sick, he sustains you. To me, that means he keeps you from dying. And he restores you to health. All right, so let's look at Psalm 147, verse 3. All right, I love this. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I love it because not only does he help people physically, he helps people emotionally. And I know that a lot of times, pretty much all the time, 100% of the time, I would say, emotional wounding accompanies physical illness. It just is, you know. It's hurtful to be sick. And sometimes you need emotional healing related to that. And God's able to do that. He's able to bind up your emotional wounds as well as your physical wounds. And he is, I'm just now thinking of the scripture that says, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And healing is a good thing. Healing's a good thing, and God doesn't withhold it. He's eager to show you compassion. He's eager. He longs to show you compassion. That's what the word says. Even, you know, the people that are fighting him and at every turn and just making bad choices all the time, God longs to show them compassion. I think about this woman. I heard her testimony. She was a prostitute, and she had venereal disease. And there was a church in her town that was having some kind of amazing God stuff going on at their church. You know, we'd call it revival, but God was showing up in a big way, and people were being healed, and she wanted to be healed. She got healed. She left. She didn't come back to the church to attend. A few months later, she came back. She had venereal disease again, and she got prayed for again, and the venereal disease left. And again, she didn't give up the prostitution. She didn't start going to church. She just went back and kept doing what she was doing. And a few months later, she had venereal disease again. This happened 5 times. And the pastor, who was, you know, leading this whole thing, said it just really bothered him. You know, he saw really wonderful, lovely Christian people come, and they were not being able to make the connection, you know, and she did, you know. Finally, on the 5th time, it was a turnaround for her. The 5th time she was healed, you know, God finally got her heart, you know, and one of the things he told this pastor was that she needed that. She needed to have a revelation of God's love and his lack of judgment, you know, and, God is merciful. You know, he's not taking your inventory. I just have seen so many testimonies of people that were really rough around the edges. People that we would think, man, they don't qualify. And they don't. Nobody qualifies except through Christ. Jesus paid for it. He qualified us. When you get your heart full of who God is, and get your heart full of what his heart is towards you, that's part of what helps you to make a connection with the healing that Jesus has already paid for. So I encourage you, in addition to looking at the healing scriptures, I encourage you to get in the Word, get in the Psalms, and find out what it says about the Father in there. Find out what His nature is. You know, He shows mercy to people. He shows compassion. He knows what the enemy's doing to people. He knows how the enemy has messed with people. You know, some people that we see as enemies of God, God sees as victims of the enemy. And He has compassion towards them, and He has compassion towards you. You know, He's eager to help you to take hold of the healing that belongs to you. And I'm going to remind you that the Holy Spirit's there to help you and guide you and lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit's there to help you to connect with this reality, to connect with what belongs to you. And I guess I want to talk about the Lord's Prayer here real quick before we go. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and said, you know, teach us how to pray, you know. And Jesus said, sure, you know. And immediately goes into something that is not supplication. You know, when we think of prayer, we always think supplication. But that's not what Jesus focused on. He began to say, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means like honored and respected be your name, you know, revered. And then he goes into declarations. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. You know, he's not telling them, go to the Father and humble yourself and say, oh Lord, it's so hard down here. Oh, you know, can you help us? Can you make it better for us? You know, nothing like that. He's saying, make declarations. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that's what God's will is. He wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's nobody sick in heaven. There's nobody afraid in heaven. There's nobody tormented in heaven. God hates all that stuff. He's endeavored from the first day of the fall to reverse all this and to restore us. And that's has been his will all along, and it hasn't changed. It will never change. God's never going to become schizophrenic and decide that that he wants to do evil. You know, God is good. The devil's bad. God is our healer. The enemy is the one who makes people sick. God wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and he wants us to declare it. He wants us to command it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can speak that over your body, and it's powerful. You can command God's will to be done in your body on earth as it is in heaven. You can do that. You can do that. You have authority to, in the Spirit, to take dominion, to establish dominion. So we're not talking about that today, so I don't want to get off on that. But get these scriptures in your heart. I'm hoping that you're writing these down. You know, if you're sick, you should have a full list of every scripture that we've gone over, and you should be going over it and getting it inside you so that you can take by faith what belongs to you. So I have no idea how long I've been speaking, but I'm going to stop now, and we will continue this next time. As a reminder, if you want to move a little faster than we're moving here, I do have 3 books available. I was mentioning earlier that you might want to get into the Psalms and see what they say about the Father so that you know his character, because that helps you to not be conformed to this world. That helps you to be transformed. When you get your mind renewed regarding who he is, it's extremely helpful. Well, in the book that I wrote, Enjoy Heaven Now, I have a whole section in the back where I did that. I pulled out scriptures that specifically tell me what the nature of God is for the purpose of worship, and I compiled them and I put them in the back of the book. So that can save you some time if you want to just really have a like a crash course in who God is, that's in there. So that's available. That's on Amazon and Kindle. Just look for Enjoy Heaven Now by Donna Crowe. I also have a book there on healing, Enjoy Healing Now, and Enjoy Your Rights and Privileges Now. That's the other one. Every one of those will be helpful for you if you are seeking healing. So I guess that's it. I just want to say God bless you, and I'm just going to pray real quick. Father, I ask by your Spirit that you quicken your words, that you quicken your word to everyone that's listening, Lord. I ask that these words go in, that they penetrate their heart and mind, and that you cause transformation in them, that you cause them to come up and come out and to be awake and to be alive in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and believe, that you help them to believe in what belongs to them. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Love you guys. And again, if you have questions, you can write to me at general@donnacrowe.com. If you want to know who I am, those of you who have never heard of me before, you can go to donnacrowe.com. And there's a little bit of information there. So see you next time.